But I want you to imagine that you've been invited to a family gathering. You get ready, especially for the occasion. You travel a certain distance to get there. You get out of the car, walk down the driveway towards the house where the gathering is taking place. But when you go through the doorway, there are people there, but no one notices that you've walked through the door. In fact, no one says anything to you. You're totally ignored. How would you feel in such a situation? Pretty sad? I reckon you'd probably feel pretty sad, and you'd feel lonely too. You'd be wondering why no one had greeted you, and probably also wondering why it is that no one wants to talk to you. You'd probably start to think, well, have I done something wrong that no one wants to talk to me? Hopefully, your experience of family isn't anything like that. And more particularly, hopefully your experience of church isn't anything like I've just described. One of the amazing truths about Christianity is what it teaches us about the value of human beings. Christianity tells us that we are so valuable to God that he has entered into the world in human form in the person of Jesus so that we can be in an intimate relationship with him and have conversation with him. We are so valuable to the King of creation that he doesn't force us to travel thousands of kilometres to see him. He doesn't sort of make us try and think, well, how is it that we can work our way to heaven? Instead, what he's done, he's made the journey himself at his own expense. He's come down from heaven to be specially with us. He's even become one of us so that we might be able to talk with him face to face. That's an amazing thing. And this is why the New Testament teaches us that it's important for Christians to acknowledge each other, and we do that practically by greeting one another. In today's passage in Colossians 4, verses 10 to 15, we see a concrete example of how important it is in Paul's thinking for Christians to greet one another. Four times in six verses, we get the word greet being used. And altogether, we have six people sending their greetings to the Colossian Christians, and seven, if you include Paul's personal greeting at the end of his letter in verse 18. Through Paul, we see Aristarchus sending his greetings. Now, Aristarchus was a Macedonian from Thessalonica in Greece. He frequently travelled with Paul on Paul's missionary journeys. Acts 19 records how once upon a time, when he was ministering with Paul, he had been seized by a mob at Ephesus. There were people who were angry at the effect of Paul's preaching on the market for selling idols. So many people had become Christians that the trade in idols had suffered. And Aristarchus had suffered together with Paul on that occasion. And even though he was currently in prison, it was important for him to send his greetings to the Christians in Colossae. In addition to Aristarchus, we also see Mark sending his greetings. Now, Mark was the cousin of Barnabas and possibly the author of the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament. At least tradition says that that's the Mark who wrote it. Mark had accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey together, but we know from the scriptures that for some reason, about halfway through that journey, Mark withdrew from the mission. And he returned to Jerusalem. Mark's withdrawal had disappointed Paul so much that when Barnabas proposed that Mark join Paul and himself on the second missionary journey, Paul disagreed. In fact, the Bible tells us that a sharp disagreement happened over the matter. Paul and Barnabas disagreed with one another as to whether Mark should go. And it was so bad, that argument, that they decided to go their separate ways. Paul had been disappointed previously by Mark. But about 12 years or so after that falling out, notice what Paul says about Mark in verse 10. Paul reminded the Christians in Colossae that they had been commanded that if Mark would come to them, then they had to welcome him. Paul had been reconciled to Mark, and Mark was now back. He was part of Paul's team. It's likely that the Christians in Colossae had heard about the original falling out between Paul and Mark. So here we see Paul making sure that if Mark were to turn up in Colossae, he would be welcomed by the Christian community and not treated as an outcast. Mark was sending his greetings to the Colossian Christians, and they had been instructed by Paul to receive him, to welcome him if he visited them. Here we can see through Mark's greeting and Paul's instructions regarding Mark, we can see the importance of Christians greeting one another and welcoming one another. In addition, to keep on going, we see in verse 11 a guy called Jesus. No, not Jesus who went to the cross, but a guy called Jesus, also known as Justice, who sent his greetings as well. Now, at that time, Justice and Mark were the only Jewish guys working for the kingdom of God together with Paul, Paul tells us. And then in verse 12, we also get a guy called Epaphras. He sends his greetings too. Epaphras was originally from the city of Colossae. He was part of Paul's missionary team, and he had also been imprisoned together with Paul and Aristarchus. They were in prison, but they were still wanting to reach out to other Christians and to send their greetings. In addition, we see verse 14 as well. The physician Luke, he's the guy who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, he gets in the act as well of greeting. He's another fellow worker with Paul, but he's wanting to say hello. And that verse also mentions Demas. We don't really know much about Demas. He sends his greetings as well, and it's quite possibly a Demas is mentioned later on, a guy who actually ended up leaving Paul. So perhaps he had a bad end. We're not sure exactly if it's the same Demas. But anyway, on this occasion, we see Demas too sending his greetings. Altogether, who do we have? We've got Aristarchus, we've got Mark, we've got Justice, we've got Epaphras, we've got Luke and Demas, and Paul himself in verse 18 sending their greetings. All of them take the time to say hello to the Christians living in another city. Now, all of this is significant for us to reflect upon. And in addition to all of that, we can see in verse 15 how Paul gives instruction that the Colossian Christians were to pass on Paul's greetings to the Christians in the neighbouring church at Laodicea, about 15 kilometres down the road. And especially, Paul wanted his greetings passed on to someone who seems to be a lady, well, there is some debate, was it a lady or a man, but quite possibly a lady called Nympha, who opened up her house to be a meeting place for the church in Laodicea. So not just saying hello to the Christians in Colossae, but getting the Christians in Colossae to pass on their greetings to Christians elsewhere as well. Friends, one of the wonderful things about being a Christian is that we're part of God's family. Through faith in Christ, we officially receive God as our Heavenly Father and Jesus as our elder brother. Through faith, we become sons and daughters of God. We're accepted into God's family. We're welcomed into His kingdom. And this means that all of us, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters of one another. We all belong to the one family of faith. And being part of God's family, it's important to make sure that we recognize and acknowledge and care for one another. We're all part of the same family here. And that's where welcoming one another fits in. At a bare minimum, we're to acknowledge each other's presence. So when you see a fellow Christian whether here at church or elsewhere, if you've got the time, or if you need to make the time, make sure that you say hello. Don't treat them as if they're a foreigner. They're actually a brother or sister of yours in the faith. If God has made us to get to know him, and if he has placed us in a family to get to know not just the father of the family, but all of the various members of his family, then it doesn't make sense for us to ignore our fellow brothers and sisters. Now, it may be that you might not currently get along with a certain fellow Christian in the here and now. Perhaps they're not part of your group, or you don't view them as a friend. Sometimes there are even some Christians who might seem a little bit weird, or whose theology might seem a bit suspect at points. But if they are fellow believers in Jesus Christ, then they're our brothers and sisters. And also keep in mind at this point that longer term, what's God's plan for us in relation to all of God's people? Longer term, God gives us eternity. And one of the reasons that he gives us eternity is not just to get to know him more and more over time, but also an opportunity for us to get to know every single one of God's children. We'll have eternity with the purpose, among other things, of having enough time to get to know every single one of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ on an individual and an intimate basis. Just think about that. Now, I guarantee that spending eternity with one another will bring all of God's people closely together. In fact, when you think about it, that's one of the exciting things about being a Christian. Not only do we have the opportunity to get to know God better, but we'll have the opportunity to get to know all of God's children. People like Adam, people like Noah, Abraham, Moses, King David, some of the heroes of the faith, will all have the chance to get to know those guys and become intimate friends with them. But not just them, all of God's people, whether we know their name now or not, all of God's people will have the opportunity to get to know them. If that's the case eternally, then it makes sense for us to start reflecting that in the here and now, acknowledging one another, welcoming one another. All of God's people will be there, and our privilege in eternity will be getting to know each and every one. So keep that in mind, because if that's the case longer term, then it makes sense, doesn't it, for us to greet and welcome each other now in the short term. As members of the same family, greet one another, welcome one another. In fact, I reckon that all of us probably have someone here today that maybe we haven't said hello to yet. You reckon it's time to maybe stretch our legs and say hello to someone right now that we haven't greeted yet this morning? I'll start it off by saying hello to the musos. Haven't really said good morning. Anyway, anyone else want to say hello? Brendan, who do you want to greet this morning? Someone you haven't greeted yet? Yeah. Where you going? Where you going? You got to come on, let's see. Let's... All right. Okay. I can see that you get the idea, all right? You get the idea. Well done. All right, so we've had the opportunity just to say hello, but remember the conversation continues, doesn't it? Brothers and sisters in the same family, the relationships continue. No matter where we may be or where we'll end up in the future, No matter what church ultimately we belong to, brothers and sisters, so keep the conversation going. It'll continue after the service, over lunch or whatever, but remember, it's going to continue eternally. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Now, on top of the importance of greeting and welcoming one another, this passage also reminds us of the importance of working and praying for one another too. And we can see this especially through the example of Epaphras. Now, notice how he's described in verses 12 and 13. We see Paul describing him as someone who was a servant of Christ Jesus, who was always wrestling or striving on behalf of the Colossian Christians whenever he prayed. The word wrestling or striving there has overtones of someone competing for a prize. It speaks of someone who's like an athlete, giving his or her all in order to achieve the goal at hand. In other words, Epaphras was someone who was very keen to pray on a regular basis for other Christians, and particularly for the Christians that he knew. Being from the same town, Epaphras knew some of the people there at Colossae. He was concerned about the work of the gospel there, and he wanted the Christians there to be mature in the faith and to be fully assured regarding the totality of God's will. Now, when we think about ourselves, can we say that we're like Epaphras at this point? Are we praying for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to be mature in the faith, and that they might know the totality of God's will? Is that the kind of prayer that we pray for each other here and for other Christians that we don't know about? Do we pray earnestly that our fellow Christian brothers and sisters would grow in maturity and grow in the knowledge of God's will? We should be praying like that, and we have Epaphras as a great example of praying for others. Now, Paul also says of Epaphras in verse 13 that Paul himself could bear witness regarding Epaphras that he toiled greatly, not just on behalf of the Christians in his hometown of Colossae, but also in the neighbouring towns of Laodicea and Hierapolis, which was just to the north of Colossae. Knowing the importance of the gospel and salvation, Epaphras was keen to put in the hard yards for the sake of other Christians. Now, friends, Epaphras stands as a great example here to us of Christian concern. He loved God, loved the gospel. He loved to see the growth in spiritual maturity of Christians in his hometown and adjacent areas and even further afield. His presence in Paul's ministry team gives witness to that. And so overall, with what we've looked at today, I think we can say that whatever it is that God has called us to do and whatever situation in life we find ourselves, let's make sure that we're keen to work and pray for the spiritual growth of our brothers and sisters in Christ here and in other parts of the world. Overall, what do we have? We've got greeting, welcoming, working, praying. We see Paul doing that. We see Epaphras doing that. We see their fellow workers like Mark and Luke doing that. So as Christians who are part of God's family, I hope that we'd see something of that example in ourselves. As Christians who are part of God's family, then it should be natural for us to be concerned about our brothers and sisters in the faith. So, please keep in mind the importance of greeting and welcoming. And following the example of Epaphras, let's always work hard and strive in prayer for the sake of the growth in Christian maturity of our brothers and sisters, not just here, but throughout the world. In the end, God has really given us each other, and he's done so for us to help one another. God has given us each other in order that we might spur one another on to love and good works. And I hope that that's something that we'll all be concerned to do.